there, everybody. Welcome to Live with Lon. We are so glad that you're with us today as we continue in our study of the B-I-B-L-E. That's right. What do we study here on Lon Solomon Ministries? Say it with me. Come on. The Bible. What? The whole Bible. And what? Nothing but the Bible. And then we apply it to our lives and ask the question, so what? Okay. So just before we do that, why don't we pray? Dear Lord Jesus, we understand that without the Holy Spirit illuminating our spirit and opening our heart and granting us understanding, that we will never get the Word of God and never understand its truths. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would do that ministry in our hearts today and help the Word of God be powerful in our life today and life-changing. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Okie dokie. All right, now we're in John chapter 11. We're trying to catch up with the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where we already reached the triumphal entry in those three gospels in our study of the gospels. So now we're catching up in John's gospel. And man, I don't know about you, but I've had a great time studying John's gospel with you. What an amazing gospel. And we're in chapter 11 now. Chapter 12 is the triumphal entry, so we're about to catch up, but we're not going to hurry through chapter 11. My gosh, what a chapter. Okay, so let's look. Last week, we read the first four verses. Let's put them up on the screen and read them again. New King James Version of the Bible. Here we go. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother, Lazarus, was sick. Now, we talked about this incident last week, Mary doing this, from Luke 7. Therefore, his sister sent to Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. That's where we were last week, and we covered verse 2, but now we're going to cover the verses 3 and 4. You say, Lon, are you going to move through this chapter 2 verses a week? We'll be in this chapter forever. No, we're going to move through the chapter, and we're going to take our time. And if we want to do 2 verses, we'll do 2 verses. If we want to do 8 verses 1 week, we'll do 8 verses. We're in no hurry. It's the eternal Word of God. What are we hurrying to do? So, verse 3, verse 4. Therefore his sisters, Lazarus' sisters, sent to Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, the Bible is clear that Jesus loved Lazarus and his sisters, because it says in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. You say, well, yeah, Jesus loves everybody. No, no, no. This is more than that. He loved them in a very special, personal way, and the reason is, among others, is that he often spent the night at their house. I told you last week, Bethany is just over the crest of the Mount of Olives from Jerusalem. From the temple, it was a 20-minute walk at the most, a half an hour. I don't think it was that long. And Jesus would often, the Bible tells us, go there and stay the night and then come back the next day into Jerusalem. So they would feed him. They would give him a chance to wash up. They would give him a bed to sleep. They would give him breakfast in the morning. They would maybe give him a bag lunch to bring with him. I don't know. So because of this constant familiarity with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he had a very personal love for them, a very intimate friendship love for them that had been built over time, days, weeks of staying at their house and having them care for him. Okay, now, Jesus, when he hears the news, says, this sickness that Lazarus has is not unto death. How could he say that? Because Jesus makes the decision every day as the second person in the Godhead who lives and who dies. And every time we're sick, he makes the decision whether we're going to recover or not. And apparently Lazarus' sickness, which Jesus, I'm sure, knew about, was very serious because he does die from it very quickly, as a matter of fact. So whatever he had, and I don't even pretend to guess, was very serious. And yet Jesus says, this sickness is not unto death. You say, but it was unto death. Well, no, it was unto death till Jesus got there. He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, as you know. He said, this sickness is not unto death. Watch. But, Jesus said, for the glory of God, that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, may be glorified through it. Notice that glorifying Jesus is glorifying God. Do you see that? The same thing. Because God the Father, God the Son, are both God. And so you glorify one, you glorify the other. You see that, right? And Jesus makes this clear. If you don't know me, you don't know the Father. Throughout the Bible, that they're inseparable as the Godhead. So, whatever is going to happen in this chapter is going to bring glory to God by bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? And what is going to happen in this chapter that's going to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, my goodness, he's going to come to town. He's going to go roll the stone away from the grave where Lazarus has been buried. And he's going to say, Lazarus, come forth, come out. And Lazarus, still wrapped in his grave clothes, is going to come doing pepper steps because of the bandages that he's wrapped in. He's going to come pepper stepping out of the tomb. Hey, that'll bring some glory to the Lord Jesus Christ to raise Lazarus from the dead. Ha! And by bringing glory to him, it brings glory to God. And you know, Jesus didn't just raise Lazarus from the dead and then allow him to go 3 days later and die again. No, no. Mm-mm. I want you to look at me. Let's put it on the screen. John chapter 12. Look at verse 9. It says, then a great many of the Jews knew that he was there. And where is this? In Bethany. And they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see, look at this, Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests took counsel that they might also put Lazarus to death, not just the Lord, but Lazarus. Why? Because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Well, I guess so. They showed up. They touched Lazarus. They put their arm around him. They took him by the hands and looked into his eyes and said, "You tell me, were you really dead?" And Lazarus said, "Baby, I was dead as a doornail." "Mary, was he really dead?" "Oh, baby, he was dead as a doornail." "Martha, was he really dead?" "Oh, baby, what was he dead as? Say it." "A doornail." "That's right." "Say, what does that mean?" "I don't know." "I've never even seen a doornail. But my daddy used to say that all the time when I was a kid. Dead as a doornail." So I kind of picked it up and used it. But whatever a doornail is, it's not alive. And Lazarus was that dead. Now, that brought glory to Jesus to raise him from the dead. And I'm going to say this again when we get deeper in the chapter, but this is why Jesus did not hurry to get to Bethany before Lazarus died. Remember, Mary and Martha say to him, "If you had been here, our brother would not have died." That's true. Jesus could have come and healed him like he had done for so many thousands of people. That would have brought him glory. Yeah? You're right. But by waiting until he expired and then coming and not healing him, but raising him from the dead, wow. Well, that brought Jesus maximum glory. And that's why he waited. So much glory that people were believing on him just because of Lazarus and what he did. So, do we understand the passage? Yes? Yes. And to give God glory, what does that mean? To bring God glory. It means to bring God credit, to bring him renown, to bring him the spotlight, to bring him worship and praise and adoration and love. This is how we bring glory to God and glorify him. And that's what Lazarus's resurrection from the dead did. Now, that's as far as we want to go in our passage today, but we want to ask our most important question. So, are you ready? Come on now, ready? 1, 2, 3. So what? Aha! Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what? Yeah. And we've got a great so what here. But I was just thinking the other day, I was with my grandson, Tyler, who's 18. And I said, "You know, Tyler," and he loves the Lord, "this child," well, he's a young adult, "has one of the purest faiths I've ever seen in anybody." And I said to him, "You know," we were just talking, and I said, "You know, if I would have died back in 2007, when I first needed stents in my heart and was about to have a heart attack that would have killed me," I said, "Hey, Tyler, how old were you then?" He said, "I was 3. And I said, "How old was your sister Mia?" "Well, she was just an infant, a baby." I know that would have meant 6 of my 8 grandchildren I never would have even met. And I certainly wouldn't have had the privilege of watching Tyler and Mia grow up into young adults. Hey, you know what I'm leading up to, don't you? Yeah, by the Lord's help and saving my life twice, in 2007 with stents and in 2020 with CABG, open heart surgery, bypass and aorta surgery. You know what my reaction is to all that? Tell me what it is. You ready? Come on now, tell me. What is it? How sweet it is. That's right. How sweet it is. Exactly. My good friend Jackie, who would say, "How sweet it is." It's how he said it. But I like it, "How sweet it is." Praise the Lord. that I'm here and able to be alive teaching the Word of God still. Now, all of that to say, what's the takeaway of this? What's the not a sermon, just a thought here? What's the so what? Well, it's very simple, my friends. God loves bringing glory to himself from the events that happen in this world. Let me repeat that. That's what I want you to walk away with today. God loves bringing glory, credit, fame, renown, the spotlight to himself from the events that take place in this world. And that's what he wanted to do with Lazarus and with his death and by raising from the dead. He wanted to bring those things to his name and his personhood. I love Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. Let me read it for you. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. I will not give my glory to others. My glory belongs to me. And people who give my glory to others are idolaters. And God loves to show his glory. God loves to get the credit. God loves to have the spotlight put on him and his greatness. God loves to get renown. God loves to have us be in awe of him and praise him. And you know what? If he were a human being like you and me, and he wanted this kind of self-notice, self-aggrandizement, that would be hubris beyond belief. But you see, when you are the Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, holy Creator and God of the universe, then this is not hubris. This is appropriate. This is right. This is the way it ought to be that he gets all of that attention. And he uses the events of this world to create that kind of attention for himself. He used Lazarus' death and subsequent resurrection by the Lord Jesus to get that kind of attention. And folks, here's the point. The circumstances in your life and my life are all designed in some way or another to bring glory to the Lord Jesus and to Christ and to God in our life. Now, most of the time, we don't understand it, how God is doing his intricate interweaving of events to bring glory to himself. We don't get it. And many times we're confused, as some of us are right now, about why this is happening and why that is happening. And I have things like that where I keep saying, Lord, I don't get it. Why are you doing things this way? Sometimes they're painful things, and sometimes they're just bewildering things. But you know what? The one thing I can always be sure of is that somehow, some way, in the broad scheme of things, and it may not be till years later that it actually happens, some way, God is doing what he's doing to ultimately bring glory, credit, renown, attention, praise to himself. That's what you can be sure of too regarding the events in your life. Now, when I think of this, I think of a few world events that now it's easy to see how the Lord did this. For example, I think of Alexander the Great. Not a man who knew the Lord, not a man who loved the Lord. And yet God allowed him to conquer pretty much the entire known world except for the Far East. Why would God do that? Well, ultimately to bring glory to himself. You say, how? Well, by Alexander doing that, he took Hellenism, the Greek culture and the Greek language, across the entire Middle East, across most of Europe, across most of the Near East, the coast of Africa. I mean, pretty much the whole civilized world, except for, like I said, the Far East, all of a sudden began speaking Koine Greek. Koine just means everyday, common Greek. Not classical Greek, but just everyday Greek. And, you know, we're not speaking Shakespeare, we're speaking everyday English. You understand what I'm saying? Why does that bring glory to God somehow? Well, because 3 centuries later, the New Testament was written in Koine Greek. So, why? It could be understood by everybody in the entire Mediterranean world and into Asia and Africa. Why? Because they all spoke Koine Greek. So they could understand the New Testament. Why? Because Alexander the Great, 300 years before that, God had allowed him to conquer that whole area and bring Greek to be the lingua franca, the language of commerce and trade. You with me? Hey, how about the Roman Empire? Brutal by some standards, by many standards. How did they bring glory to God by taking over the whole Mediterranean world? Well, very simple. After the Lord Jesus was crucified, resurrected, and ascended back into heaven, it was the Roman road system constructed not for commerce and trade, but constructed so the Romans could move armies in a facile way, in a quick and easy way, from one end of their empire to the other when needed. Those roads made it possible for Paul and the other missionaries to go and spread the gospel in a way that would not have been possible had that transportation system been unavailable. And also, during that time was Pax Romana, especially at the end of the first century and beginning of the second century AD. Pax Romana under Hadrian and some of the other nearby emperors. And you know what? The gospel always spreads well when there's peace and people are able to focus on it. So Pax Romana also brought glory to God by allowing the gospel to spread and become an international force. Are you with me? My point is that we can't always see the ultimate way in which something brings glory to God, but that doesn't mean that he hasn't designed it to do that. And folks, in your life and my life, there are many things that we may never live to see in our mortal bodies, how it actually is going to work out to bring glory to God, but you can be sure that it's going to. And every once in a while, the Lord lets us see how something actually works out that way. I'll close with this, because this was an incident where that happened. And I've had many of these that God has been blessed my life with. Seeing my dog Noah healed from the mange and having all the people around see that and see God's power in the life of my dog. When I was asking, God, 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 why would you make my dog sick? And there's many other examples, but this one was a great one. Brendan and I were living in Crofton, Maryland, in a wonderful house. On Farlow Avenue in Old Crofton, when McLean Bible Church contacted me and invited me to come be their pastor in 1980. And we owned a tiny house there. It's really a very small house. And So we were going to sell it, obviously, and move over to Northern Virginia and buy a house here, a modest house. We couldn't sell the house. It was a sweet house. I never did understand why we couldn't sell it, but we couldn't sell it. And so we had come over to Northern Virginia. We had put a contract down on a house. And we had, I mean, we never dreamed we wouldn't be able to sell our house in Crofton, Maryland. Well, we couldn't. And so, on a Monday, with settlement, on a Monday, we had to show up with the funds. And it wasn't going to happen. We got to Friday. 3 days before settlement. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be horrible. This is going to be horrible. I'm going to have to default on this contract in Virginia. And this is going to be a wonderful way for the new pastor of McLean Bible Church to begin his ministry. The McLean Times, new pastor of McLean Bible Church defaults on his contract to buy a home over here. Ah, wonderful. Wonderful. Talk about something that doesn't glorify God. I didn't have a solution. What was I going to do? Couldn't sell a house in 2 days. And I just kept calling on the Lord and saying, Lord, I don't know what are we going to do here, Lord? This is going to be a disaster. Honestly, I had no solution. I didn't even have a suggested solution to recommend to the Lord, which I do a lot of times. I'm always wrong. So, Saturday, 2 days before settlement, Brenda's mom, who knew what was going on, called up and said, hey, Lon and Brenda, I got some news for you. And we said, okay. She said, my mother, which is Brenda's grandmother, wonderful, godly woman who lived up in Hagerstown, Maryland, where Brenda was born and raised. She said, my mother, this is Brenda's mother talking, called me up today and said, you know, Beatrice, that was Brenda's mom's name. She said, I've been really praying for Lon and Brenda. And she said, I've just got a real sense from the Lord that they're in need of help of some kind. Am I wrong? Or, you know, maybe I'm completely wrong. And Brenda's mom took the liberty to say, no, actually, you're right. And told her mom, Brenda's grandmother, what was happening. And Brenda's grandmother said, isn't that interesting? She said, I have a CD that is coming to fruition on Monday morning. And she said, it's well more than this when people got CDs because they actually paid some interest. She said, it's well more than what Brenda and Lon need to carry over the equity in their home. And she said, I'll make sure they get wired, the money gets to them on Monday so that they can settle. I'll lend it to them. And when they finally sell that house in Crofton, they can just pay me back. Now, I'm sorry, my friends. That stuff just doesn't happen. You talk about everyone we told that story to, the realtor, the people at the table selling us the house. Everybody we told that story to. I told it in McLean Bible Church a number of times over the years. Everybody who heard that story sat back and said, "To God be the glory." Only God could do that. He's an awesome God. He's an amazing God. He is a powerful God. He is an just awesome God. God used that circumstance, as exigent as it was for me and Brenda. I mean, we were pulling our hair out trying to figure out how do we handle this and not disgrace the Lord. You know what? He had it the whole time under control. And used it not for his disgrace, but he used it for his glory. Now, Let me close by saying, right now there are things in your life, just like that Crofton house, that are not happening, or they are happening and you don't want them to happen. And you're saying, how in the world could this ever glorify God? Friends, you may go to the grave and never even know when it comes to most of them. But this is one thing you can be sure of. Every event God does on this earth is aimed at eventually being for His glory, His renown, His fame. Why? Because Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name and my glory, which is all the glory in the universe. I will not give to another. It's mine, and I'm going to get it. And I'm going to work the events on this planet to make sure that I get it. This is why, in closing, if you're involved in a situation and you don't know exactly what to do or what to pray for, pray the prayer Jesus prayed. Listen, in John chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus was predicting his death on the cross, and here's what he said. Look at verse 27. Now, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? You know, when the Son of God's heart is troubled, you know the anguish that he is preparing to face must be horrible. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Look at Jesus' prayer. Father, here's my prayer. Not save me from this hour. Glorify your name in what I'm about to go through. Glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people who stood by her and heard it said that it thundered. And others said an angel spoke to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. What a great prayer. You don't know what else to pray. You're bewildered and you're at your wit's end. You're completely confused about what God's up to. Good prayer. Father, use all of this mess to glorify this your name. Use all of this pain to glorify your name. Use all of these confusing circumstances to glorify your name. And even if I'm not here on earth to see how you do it through my circumstances, Lord, that's my prayer. Glorify your name. Some of us, all of us, need to pray that about some things in our life and leave it right there. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you are the Lord, that is your name, Isaiah 42:8, and your glory you will not give to another. It's yours, belongs to you. And Lord, grant that we take great pleasure in giving glory to your name, in seeing glory come not to us, but to you. Because you deserve it, because it's appropriate, because it's seemly and right. And so, Lord, reassure us, there's not a thing happening on this earth, and there's not a thing happening in our lives that you have not already planned to bring glory to yourself. It's just we're too puny in our human understanding to get it. But Lord Jesus, you have already planned it out. And may we be content to simply say, Father, glorify your name through what's happening to me, and I will be happy. Lord Jesus, teach us to pray this, even about things going on right now in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what did you say? Amen. And come on, what did you say? Amen. Okay. Father, glorify your name. Lord willing, we'll see you next week as we continue in John 11. That's our prayer for this week and the rest of our life. Father, glorify your name. God bless you.